Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo. And how are you on this wonderful Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2026? It's awfully nice to have you here. Welcome. Welcome, 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 welcome. And how are you? Are you doing well? Are you having a well day? Is everything good? I hope so. I hope things are going to be better because hopefully we're going to have a happy Wednesday, like Renee said. Welcome to the chat room. Where, Renee? What chat room? Well, I have a chat room on YouTube, and that's YouTube at moabdelbaki.com. MOABDELBAKI. And come on in. Come on in. Talk to me. I love being talked to. I do keep an eye on it, and that way I can talk back to you. Happy Wednesday indeed. Today's going to be, I think, an interesting show for those of you who are Tarot readers, and I think those of you who are astrologers and don't read Tarot, I think it can be very interesting as well. It has to do with finding anything you want to find out in a chart or with the cards. So come on in, have a seat, relax. It's been an interesting week, to say the least. If you keep up with the news, if you don't, then you are so lucky. I don't know quite how you do it, but lucky you are. Oh, lucky you are, you are, you are. Yeah, indeed. Come on in. And if you do like joining me in the chat room, I'd love that because I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy talking to you and having you ask questions about things. And on the radio at 1-2 Radio, I love that as well. I was on CA with CA's show. I was on with CA on CA's show yesterday. We had a lot of fun. It was a great show. We talked about Gemini quite a bit. Gemini, which is a very mental sign, very intellectual, and Castor and Pollux. Castor was the mortal twin. Pollux was the immortal twin. It's the right way to say that, I guess. Their mother was Leda, who was, of course, let's say, violated by Zeus, and in the form of a swan. Hey, Pamela, welcome. Welcome to the room. Nice to see you. Leda and the Swan, a very famous story. And they cracked out of an egg. Yeah. And Helen of Troy came out of, that's a maybe a different coupling, but Helen of Troy was also a daughter of Zeus, and of course a thousand ships and blah, 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 you know. It's interesting how so much of our culture is based upon these mythologies of the Greeks and Romans. It's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? And you know, so much of our culture is based upon these books, these old stories, these tales. It is. Gemini rising, I am mental. Yeah, I've got some pretty strong Gemini in my chart, too. Talk about mental for me. Thanks, Renee. Yeah, it was a good show. I think we always do some pretty good stuff when we get together. It starts off on one thing and peels off into another dimension often, and really quite fascinating. CA and I have always had that kind of relationship. I think very, very fruitful. Very strong relationship, very good colleagues. I've always gotten along very, very well with CA. I think I met her over 30 years ago. I did a reading for her, and she's a very nice person, very, very good person, and an incredible astrologer, very good at what she does. She wouldn't be doing the type of work she does, which is astrology, if she wasn't good at it. And she's been a professional astrologer for a very long time. Very intelligent person. And very sweet, very nice. I think she kind of tells it the way it is, which is, I think, how things should be. I try to. So what we're going to talk about today is what I call the linear astrological spread. I'm going to talk to you about how I derived that and why I derived it, why I created it, and what it's about. And the derivative house system, or the, I have another name for it, but I've searched for the D, but I'll come up with it. But how you can find out just about anything, and I'll tell you what that's about, and how you can develop your own sense of that, which will come in handy for you not only in tarot, but also in astrology. Yeah. Let's see. Pamela says, "I'm sorry that I missed the show." Yeah, it'll be on. In demand. We'll check it out. Always love. Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. We get to talking about some strange things sometimes. That's, I think, my influence. I talk about strange things, especially when I'm on someone else's show. I used to be on a lot of different shows, and then people kind of got the word that Mo's very strange. And they said, "Oh, we don't really need him on the show anymore." So I don't know if that's true. I'm just making stuff up. But because I can be a little, you know. Yeah, you never know what's going to happen, because I talk about whatever comes to mind. I mean, this show used to be called Out of Mo's Mind. And then I left for a few years and came back. And it was the Paisley Penny Arcade. I didn't dig up a clip from the arcade show when it was the mental many pointies at Paisley Penny Arcade. But I'm going to do that. I have to figure out some technical things first. And it's been a hectic week since last week. Just hectic, but not bad. Not bad, you know. Just kind of a hecticity, if you will. Hecticity. I like that word. I think I just made it up. Hecticity. If it's not a word, it should be out a word. It should ought to be a word, right? Yeah. Remember about the on-demand thing. If you've missed a show, first of all, you can see all these YouTube shows on YouTube, on my channel. You can catch all the radio shows on 1-2 Radio. On demand, it says right there on the left-hand side, on demand, and then you can catch all of us who have shows, and I'm just one of them. There's CA, and there's Serena, and there's Kat, and there's Mark, of course, and all of us with the talking, we're on there. So let's start in on this whole idea of what this is about. I've been reading tarot for decades, for actually most of my life, over 60 years now. Well, about 60 years, yeah, I'd say. was doing it professionally for an awfully long time. And I used to have clients come here, and actually I was doing it in the 12th house. And, you know, you have pretty small tables sometimes. You don't have the luxury of a gigantic table. And I got into doing what's known as the opening of the key as a reading technique. And the opening of the key is a dynamic way to read tarot. It's taught by the Golden Dawn. I have my Golden Dawn books right there. You don't need to see it. But the first time I was exposed to the opening of the key was in the 70s, when I first was introduced to the Golden Dawn books, the four-volume books by Israel Regardi. And they were in the LSU library. Original copies. Yeah, original copies. Wow, from like the 40s or something. I can't remember. My friend, the Druid, introduced me to them, as well as to the Crowley deck, which he had a copy. And I went the next day and had to scrounge money up. And it was just unbelievable how you can do that when you're really motivated. So I did. I went and got the money and, you know, got the Book of Thoth, a book that came along with it, and a first printing. I didn't know that, or I'd have bought five of them, you know. But, I didn't have the money for five of them, but I would have tried. In the slide box, you know, and I still have it, and I have another, actually, as well. But, you know, so, but they're big. They're this big. That's a big deck of cards as opposed to my deck of cards, which are this big. You can see the difference in size there. And I made my deck of cards this size because I used to have people come to my home. I have a reading room, which is not this room. The arcade, and they would come here, and I would be working with these size cards because I hadn't created my cards yet, and there are smaller versions of this deck, and I eventually went to those. But back in the old days, I would be using those this big deck on a fairly small table, and one of the opening of the key has five operations. So you're asking a question, and you do these five operations, and by the time you're done, you've beat the question to death. You know the answer. But what it does is it teaches you, and more than that, it was kind of a final exam to see, do you know how to read tarot cards, and do you understand the concept of tarot, and do you understand the principles behind it, and so on and so forth. And you had to defend yourself, and they would, I think, watch you to see, can you do this? And, you know, can you read properly? And so they would make you kind of, when I auditioned at the 12th House bookstore for Mark to read there, you know, and that was I was sweating bullets, you know, it was when we first met back 30 some years ago, and they said, okay, you're okay, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, because I never worked in a bookstore before. I'd read for friends, and I was reading professionally, but on my own, you know, out of a little office and that sort of thing. But this was, for me, kind of big time, you know. But anyway, so it was like, do you understand? Do you get it? Can you do this? And the answer was, you know, either you passed or you failed. It was like an oral exam for your PhDs. And the opening of the key has these five things that you do. Well, two of them have to do with the zodiac, or at least 12 piles of cards. One of them has 36 piles of cards. I mean, it's just really amazing. So I liked the 12 piles of cards, especially the one dedicated to the 12 houses of the zodiac. I liked it a lot. Oh, now here someone said something here. It's okay. We've got Maka says I think that's why I never got on with the opening of the key. It feels so long. It is so long, but it is also only twice, I think, in all the time I've used it, have I ever said aha. That made sense to do all five, but I should do it more often, not less. Thanks for the nudge in the direction. You're very welcome. You won't regret it. The more you do it, it's available. You can probably find all the instructions online. I'm not trying to dissuade you from buying this massive tome. I recently sold my first purchased edition, my Falcon edition of the Golden Dawn, big 90, you know, because I've been selling some books, you know. And Quelly, welcome. Good to see you. Nice to have you here. Yeah, Wednesday blessings to you. But I have this one, which has an index, which is such a blessing to have an index. It's the only volume I've ever bought that has indeed an index. The old Falcon edition was pretty nice, you know, but without an index, I mean, I used it for years and years and years. It's like, what page was that on? Had great big color, you know. It was put together by Israel Regardi back in the 70s, I think. That's pretty. I bought it in the 80s, you know, back in the early 80s. My daughter was just a baby. Oh, boy, was she cute. She's still pretty cute. She's no longer, she's a baby by any stretch. But, yeah. And so you learn a lot when you learn the technique. And you really do, and it shows you what you know and what you don't know. And it also incorporates a lot of hermeticism. It's very, you know, it's a good one. Anyway, forget it, but let's get to back one. So the first time you do the zodiac thing, it's this big circle, you see, and you start with the ascendant, and you go all the way around. And it's, it's Aries, Taurus, and it's dedicated to the 12 signs. So it's Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, blah, 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 all the way around. And here's how it goes. And you don't start with that. That's the second operation, I think it is, yeah. And the first operation is yod hey vo hey, you know, and you it's a bit complicated, but there's a very specific way you look through the cards, but you start with that, and it says, okay, now you go to the pile that should deal with the question that you're asking about. Well, all right. And if you don't find the card there that represents the person, or you go to another pile that might have a kind of a, oh, should kind of, you know, hang in there with it. If you don't find it, abandon the reading. Well, as a professional reader, when someone's come to you and has paid money for this, you don't just say, sorry, I can't read today. You have to leave. And by the way, make your checkout too. You know, you can't do that. And I realized that that's also kind of a cop-out. So what I did was I said, okay, first of all, these big tables, these big cards on a small table, rather, didn't work. It was like, you know, it's just this horrible, you know. And so I said, why don't I do it this way? I liked the third operation, which was using the houses of the zodiac. Who's in here now? Oh, Raven, welcome to the room. Awfully nice to see you. How are you, Raven? It's good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. So instead of this big circle that you're trying to do and make it look nice and round and da, 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 I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And it had some unexpected benefits. First of all, with a 78-card deck, which is what Tarot is, on the bottom you're going to have 7 cards in each pile. On the top you're going to have 6 cards in each pile. Not a problem. No issues there. And if you're looking at the cards, and you look, if you like to have aspects, well, you're looking very easily at oppositions, right? So if you're saying, well, what's getting in the way of this person doing something? You can look from the 1st to the 7th, and you're looking at the 1st to the 10th. That's, that's going to be a... not an opposition, but whatever, You can look at trines, you can look at the 5th house very easily, and you can look, at all of this sort of thing. And so you can look at all of this quite simply because they're lined up very nicely. 1 through 6, 7 through 12. And it worked out so nicely, these two linear, so I called it the linear astrological spread. Ta-da! So simple. And what I started using, the determinative house system, that's what I called it. It could be the derivative. Now, let me explain what this is based upon. Astrology is fascinating stuff. I'm a Vedic astrologer. I started out as a Western astrologer. I figured when I started astrology, let me tell you the story. I went to Tucson, Arizona, way back in something, don't know when, to go to a yo-yo thing and meet Donald Duncan Jr., the son of the great Don Duncan, who merchandised the crapola out of yo-yos back in the 1920s with Pedro Flores, who was the guy who really kind of began the yo-yo phase, the fad in this country. And Donald Duncan, who was the same guy who peddled the silver on the silver screen, and also was the guy who peddled the parking meter. Before then, it wasn't a big deal. He got the patent, I think, on the parking meter and sold them to Oklahoma City first. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. He was staying at a hotel in, I think, Santa Monica, Rachel, welcome. Good to see you. Thank you for coming in. And he saw this guy, Pedro Flores, who was Filipino, and he was playing with yo-yos, and he said, ka-ching, and he started. Anyway, so I went to Tucson and met Donald Duncan and the best yo-yoers, not all of them, but many in the world. And I got in on some yo-yo marketing thing, and all I wanted to do was play with yo-yos. So I went to there, and why did I start this story? There's some reason for that. I took my cards with me. That was the first time in decades that I had been stumped by a reading. Glad to have you, Rachel. Absolutely wonderful that you're here. There's a reason I was going to tell you about that trip. Oh, yeah. So I got there, and we did the thing with the meet and greet, and it was a wonderful group, and there are people there that I'm still friends with today. Still friends with today, which is very, very nice. That is very, very nice, because that was decades ago. One guy, a little kid, barely 16 years old, who is now one of the greatest in the world. He invented many different styles and so on. And I was a yo-yo man for quite a while. I was a Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro. Yeah, I should end with that song someday. A guy wrote a song about me. It's a good song. It's not just a rah, 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 it's not like that. It's a kind of a ballad. Quite kind of amazing, really, that happened. So back to it. So I was in Tucson. I hadn't read any books. What are you going to do? So I went to a bookstore, and there was a book by Max Heindel, Message of the Stars. I don't know if you've ever seen this book, and I bought it. sold it recently, and bought this book and said, I'll pick up astrology quickly. It's this, Handel was the head of the Los Angeles Rosicrucian organization. There's the San Jose Rosicrucians, AMORC, very different. I was a member of that for quite a while, actually. Fascinating, nice, very nice people. Beautiful museum in San Jose. If you get to San Jose, check it out. It used to be free back in the 70s when my parents and I went for the first time, based on an Egyptian temple, and we're Egyptians, and we walked in, we just went, we love this, you know, and they knew we were Egyptian because my parents were speaking Arabic, and they, you know, and it was like a big deal or something. I don't know. I was 18, and, you know, it was very cool. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, so it's a lovely place to go visit. They have reproductions of King Tut's stuff, and it's lovely. I thought I'm going to pick up astrology in a weekend, maybe a day or two, you know, a weekend or two or a month, and was I stupid? I'm still working on it, but. Raven says you have several books from the AMORC. Yeah. And they have pamphlets, and I have, you know, lots of those. And I did it for a while, and then I kind of said, okay, I think I'm kind of, because it's very, very slow, and I'm kind of a want to do it, got to do it, let's keep doing it. So what happened is that I learned about sextiles and trines and all of those things, and then I kind of stalled out because it didn't quite click with me. And then I found Vedic astrology, and boom, it found me. And that was at the 12th House bookstore, hanging around. They got a book on it by James T. Braha on Vedic astrology, and it just was, that was it. And there was a lady who did Vedic astrology, a lovely lady, became a friend, named Mary McLean. There was a wonderful woman named Gail Bachicha, who was an incredible astrologer. She's no longer with us, and she was just a wonderful astrologer who was willing to teach so many. She was a lovely human being. They all were. It was a great time. My God, it was a wonderful time. And Mark, of course, and John, and it was just a beautiful place to hang out and be a part of that entourage. So incredible. And so in the Vedic system, things are different. But one of the things there is something called horary astrology. And that's the book I regret selling. I sold that book. But one of the things is the house system. Now, the house system, what goes on there is that you're going to say, okay, now the first house, and this is what this is based on. The first house can represent the noggin. The second house can represent the right eye. This is especially true in Vedic. And the 12th house can represent the left eye. Okay, so you've got the head, right eye, left eye, right ear, left ear, so on and so forth. And you can have all the parts of the body, the hands, the lungs, the feet, so on and so forth. Pisces can represent feet. You can represent lungs, and you can find different parts of the body. For example, Scorpio can represent genitalia, as Scorpio can represent sexuality. You've seen this in astrology, probably, if you've been hanging around astrology. So, for example, Aries, we say Aries can be very fiery, and they can have tempers. I'm married to an Aries. Boy, can I attest to that. Especially since I'm a Taurus, and Tauruses are like... I'm going to have to get to that one of these days. But not now. I don't feel. And there's that Aries in back of me going, you know, my wife, she's going, do it. Well, you need to do it. Well, this has got to be not an egg. Just she genuinely, you know, It's kind of like, let's get it going, because she's got all this fire. I think she's got five planets in there, you know, and it's like, ah! And I'm like, do we have to do it now? You know, that sort of thing. And these are stereotypes, but sometimes there may be something behind the stereotypes. We look at Gemini as being intellectual. We look at Cancer as being caring of others. We look at Leo as being kind of, oh, what about me, and kingly and something like that. We look at Virgo as being meticulous, and look at Libra as seeking balance and being about, you know, justice. And, you know, we look at Scorpio as being kind of scary at times and so on. I have a full moon in Scorpio. You know, 3 minutes till full, so it's waxing. Sagittarius, we go through the signs, and they all have these attributes. So what we do is we can look at these houses, and the houses also have attributes. So if we say, where is someone's personal finances going to be? Second house. What about, let's say, your siblings? Third house. The first sibling would be in the third house. Where's the second sibling? Fifth house. Why? Because it's the third house from the second house. And we don't say, well, not three houses away. The second house is third house is the fifth house. And we say, where's the mother? Fourth house. Now, some modern astrologers look at the 10th house, you know, as the mother. I don't. That's just, in my opinion, wrong. Just wrong. The 10th house is the father. It's been the father for centuries, millennia perhaps. And it just makes more sense. Capricorn is the 10th house. It still is. The 10th sign. And Saturn rules that. I think it still does in the West. I'm not sure anymore. But it certainly does, and it used to. And that's that power that, it's the devil card in Tarot. And it's not evil or anything. It's just a juggernaut of energy trying to, it's ambition, it's drive. And the Crowley card, if you take it and you hold it out, I always teach the class on the Crowley deck, I'd say, hold that card out at arm's length and squint at it. And people go, oh, I see what that is, because a big phallus symbol, you know, with, you know, anyway. So, you learn about what are these different houses representing. And they all represent lots of stuff. Why? Because it's determined by what you're looking for, the determinative house system. That's what I called it. Now, fret thee not. If you want to learn all of this stuff, luckily, there is a book. You see? Let's see. Pamela says, I'm Scorpio's son. I scare myself sometimes. Yeah, try a full moon in Scorpio, except that you don't get scared. You just go, God, can I get away with it? No, you don't try and get away with it. You realize you can't get away with it. That's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. Here, what's this? What does this represent? Why is he putting his finger to his eye? Is it because it itches because of allergies? No. He is showing you something. Anyway, so what we discover is that there is a book by Rex E. Bliss. And this book has been around forever. And it's called The Book of Royalties, or The Royalty Book. I think it's got a couple names. And you don't have to buy the royalty book or the Book of Royalties, because... you can go to archive.com. Is it archive.org or the archive? It's the place. It's the place on the internet where you can find just about anything. Old Grateful Dead recordings. There's a Grateful Dead app. I'm really resisting getting this Grateful Dead app because I am, as they call them, a deadhead. I love the Grateful Dead. I'm of that era. And I've loved the Dead since 66, 67. And even though I was very young, I found their music to be right up my alley. And later on, I found it to be more up my alley. Much more. And it's just good stuff. The new app is called Play Dead, which I think is great. very clever. And my wife encouraged me to get it. It's like 10 bucks a month. But I'm like, no, no, I won't do anything else. I just can't do that. I can't, you know, because I won't do anything else. I'll just listen to it all the time. But anyway, you can find all sorts of stuff on archive. I think it's archive.org, including old books. And you have to have an account. And all you have to do to have an account, it's free. And you can find this book of houses of royalties, because that's what they're called. They're called royalties. And you will find, because what he has done is he has gathered from other astrologers and himself, it's like a dictionary of royalties. So if you want, and you look it up, okay? You just look it up. So you think about something like hemorrhoids. Where do you look it up? Okay, so you look up hemorrhoids and under H, and there it is, 8th house, probably, I'm guessing. Could be under Pisces too, but it's probably going to be under Scorpio. And so if someone comes to you and they say, man, I've got some... Oh, good for you, Rachel. First concert you went to, was Jerry alive when you saw it? I never saw the Dead. I never had any money. And even though I could have crashed with my friends who crashed, I didn't, they just looked so haggard. I just didn't think I would want to do what they were doing. But, so you did you see Jerry? Because he died in 95, but good for you. Thought about you when I saw the Dead Apa drop. I'm on your wife's side. Yeah, I'll get it eventually. If there was a McCartney or a Who app, yeah. I had a chance to see the Who in 77 live for $7. $7. And I didn't have $7. Student, no money, not a penny. Just didn't have it. And it was in 77. Was it 76? Yeah, 75. It was 76. And a friend of mine went to the concert and said it was absolutely incredible. It was back when Townsend was still jumping. Yeah, I saw Led Zeppelin in 77, and that was a magnificent concert. And I saw Yes, and I saw Pink Floyd. Boy, was that a concert. Here we go in concert. Let's see. Casey and the Sunshine Band. You know, for what they did, I saw Homer and Jethro. I did not pay for it. Never got to see them either. Yeah, I would love to have seen Jerry, because I felt very close to Jerry. Really close to Jerry. Saw their opening show of this last farewell. Oh my God, 7-hour drive, worth it. Oh, you were 50 feet from Roger Waters, yeah. yeah. Oh, so you were close to Jerry. Yeah, that would have been cool. Yep, I happened upon, I'll tell this story, then get back to why we're here. I happened upon a free concert once, outdoor concert, a group called Hot Rise, bluegrass. One of the best bluegrass groups I've ever seen. And I absolutely was riveted by their mandolin player, a guy named Tim O'Brien. He is, without a doubt, in my opinion, the best mandolin player in bluegrass ever, or at least that I've seen, at least living. Unbelievable. Check him out on YouTube, Tim O'Brien. He's got red hair. It's kind of going brown now, but they were a great bluegrass group. And if you, Hey Joe, the song by Billy Roberts, I think his name was, back in the 60s, that Jimi Hendrix eventually truly made one of the most popular songs ever, is a dark song. Let's face it. It's about a man who shoots his old lady, as he puts it, going down to shoot my old lady. Oh, my God. You saw Keith Moon pass out. That's really something. Neil Diamond. My wife paid to see Neil Diamond, which is good for her. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I saw Chuck Mangione. I saw Dizzy Gillespie. I stood right in front of him, and he blew his, you know, opened his spit valve and got all over me, and I felt blessed by Dizzy Gillespie, you know, changed my life. Keith passed out. There's a surprise. Yeah, Raven, right? There's a surprise. Yeah, I saw some pretty cool things. I saw the Don Ellis Orchestra. That was really incredible. I saw Doc Severinsen and his orchestra, and that was absolutely fabulous back in the day. Doc Severinsen and his orchestra. Yeah. I got off track. But what's surprising there? You guys are reminding me of me in the ninth grade with our old teacher, Mrs. Oberto. God rest her soul, I'm sure, because she'd be like 200 years old now. But she was just... We'd get her off track. Okay, back to this. So, this book just has all these things, but you don't have to have that. If you can get down just the basic ideas of what the houses represent through what the signs are, you've got it licked. I gave an example on CA Show. My God. Wow, that's so cool. What if someone's mother is, and this is because I got this question once. Well, my mom went to buy a new car, and she's dating the guy who sold it to her. Is he a good guy or not? And I said, oh, God. All right, well, let me look. So I laid out the cards. Well, the cards were laid out. And I thought, okay, the mother is the fourth house. And car salesman is third house from there, because that's where salesmen are. So mother, car salesman, third house. And you'll find it in Rex Bliss's book, third house, you know, from car salesman, cars and salesman. Car would be fourth house, at least in my opinion. So you would find the mother in the fourth house. And so the fourth house from that would be the eighth house, right? Four house from the fourth. But so I looked at it, and it said the guy was a louse, and to be very, very careful, because it would be a terrible, terrible idea for her to keep going out with him. Sure enough, the guy was a jerk. He was a heavy drinker, and that's what I saw. I saw, as I recall, what did I see? I think it was the Seven of Cups. That he was basically seeing, and the mother was not like 80, 90 years old. She was only in her 50s, because the lady I was reading for was in her 20s. And the mother was highly attractive. I eventually read for her as well. And the guy was taking advantage. He was taking advantage of the mother, if you know what I mean. And he was having his way with her. And she was enjoying that part, but not the part where he was getting drunk every time. And so it was just a bad situation. So I advised her to tell the mother to stop. So the mother came to me, and I was able to, you know, give her the right way to end it all, which was immediately. Cold turkey. Stop it. Stop. Stop. End. And so this reading method is really, really good. So all you really need is to think about the signs, in essence. So if you've got someone who is, think of what if someone is a bully, where would you find the bully? Not all Leos are bullies, but if you're going to have a bully, you might look in Leo. Why? Do we know anyone who's a bully? Do we know anyone who might want to be king? You know, if I were king of the forest, you know. Mm-hmm. you know, wherever that be, maybe Leo. If we knew anyone who was kind of someone who doesn't really want to, you know, so where are you going to look? Maybe, you know, like my whole generation, we had Pluto and Leo. What was that about? You'd ask, what are you looking for? We're trying to find ourselves, man. We really want to be, you know, we were, and we didn't listen to what anyone said, and we didn't pay attention, you know. Or Capricorn, could be Capricorn. Could be Capricorn. Sure. Could be. Could actually be, anyone can be a bully. I mean, yeah. It could be anybody. Horsemen. Horses. Where are you going to look there? Sag? Yeah. Why? Sagittarius is a centaur. Right? Yeah. Where would you look for a mermaid? Well, you're not going to get a question about a mermaid, are you? But if someone asked you about a mermaid, where would you look, maybe? Would you look Pisces, maybe? You know? Yeah. If someone is a pie-eyed optimist, just pie-eyed optimist, man. You know, I just can't. Someone can't see the forest for the trees, you know. They're just, they always see the bright side of things. You might look where? Where would you look, maybe? Here, I'll talk amongst yourselves if you want to come up with an answer. I'm going to have a sip of coffee from my A cup. And it doesn't stand for my last name. You just ask my wife. Aquarius? Yeah. You know? Bullies would be fire signs. I would say me more. I've known a lot of bullies to be, yes, fire signs, but don't, it can also be earth. It can also be air, water. See, I don't like the, it depends. And sometimes bullies can be those who wear Depends. Yeah. Tell you a quick story. I was at the Apple store, the Genius Bar thing, and I had a computer that had been destroyed, the very one after I destroyed my computer on the show, and the next day it completely died, which is why I realize how powerful words can be. And I had taken it in, and they were to tell me, nope, dead. What did you do? I can't tell you that. Do you think I'm nuts? And as I was walking back out of the bar to the opening of the store, there was a man walking. He was probably, close to 80. And he had overalls on, and people were horrified as he walked by them. And he was walking with an angry look on his face and very determined. And he was walking toward me. And I thought, what is this guy? What's going on? He has a real aura. And as he walked by me, I realized that the aura was real. And it was odoriferous. And he walked by me, and I just went, Jesus, what is that smell? And I turned around and looked at him, and he had a big package in the back of his pants. The man had worn a diaper and had defecated on purpose, so that when he went to the Genius Bar, they would wait on him immediately. And I thought, what a genius. He is so brilliant. That's a bully, you know? See, what are we saying here? They seem to be more quick-tempered. Perhaps, yeah. And I will also say this about astrology. There are astrological signs. This beard seems, I just trimmed it the other day, and it seems like it's off a little bit. I need to work on it. Oh, no, it's fine. That I don't like stereotyping people, because signs are much more than just the sign. You know, you just can't do that. I don't like being stereotyped. People, you know, I hear people say, Taurus is blah, 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 blah. They're cheap. And there are people who say, anytime a Taurus flatters you, it's because they want something. Man, I love to praise people. I love to tell people when they do good things. I really do, because I believe it's important to tell people nice things, because that's what we're here for, to help each other, you know? And I hate that when people say things like that. It's such a demeaning, demoralizing way to look at astrology, and it gives us all a bad name. Those stereotypes. I call it the psychic mafia, because it really does give us a bad image. I think actually Carl Sagan called it the psychic mafia. Pardon me. He hated us. He despised us. Just despised us, which hurt my feelings because I liked Sagan, but he despised us. He thought we were all a bunch of crooks and terrible people and idiots for believing in this stuff. But those types of stereotypes really bother me, and I rebel against them completely. But the things people say about Tauruses, especially, hurt me because I'm one. But the things they say about other signs, too, like Scorpios, like they're, you know, sex addicts. What, can't a Taurus be a sex addict? Come on, give us a break. I'm kidding. So, yeah, the guy at the Apple Bar, that guy was a genius, because it was just horrible. That guy really knew what he was doing. I don't know if he made that up or found it in a magazine or something, but trust me, ick. That was bullying in a certain way. So I should have asked him, buddy, what's your sign? You know, I'm guessing. Let's go on to something else. So this astrological spread is so good. And it works so well. I used it for literally decades. And when I went to strictly phone work, I quit using it because you can't sit at a phone and lay out all these cards. I just cut cards, and the cards and the tarot is so incredible that it just answers. You know, we're friends. The cards and I are friends. And you can be friends with your cards too, but it gets a while, and I'm sure you are, but it takes a while to get there. You just have to be friendly with your cards. You have to be conversant with your cards. And all you're doing is becoming conversant with a part of yourself, because the cards are nothing more than pieces of cardboard. And I think you get that. That's all they are. They're just pieces of cardboard. There's really nothing weird about them. There's nothing spiritual about pieces of cardboard. There is something kind of interesting that certain cards will come up at certain times. It's like it's like this, you know, the dragon beads. How do they work? I don't know, but I am absolutely flabbergasted by the accuracy of the readings I get with these. So simple, but so incredibly right on. So there is something in the great vortex of things that allows all of this to work. I will tackle the opening of the key with y'all. Whoa, I lived in Louisiana for some years, so it just creeps in every now and then. No apologies. It was a fascinating time for me, and I met some really sweet people. I did. And some are still friends. One, actually. So, pardon me. Do I have more friends on there? No, I think Fiddlin' Doc Chady, I think, is my... What a smart guy. What a great guy he is. He's a horologist. Get that out of your mind. He is a man who can put together clocks and make clock parts, and he learned in Switzerland. He did. He's probably one of the most amazing men I've ever met, and he's a great friend. Yes, he is. I haven't seen him in a long time, but yeah, Fiddlin' Doc Chady, and he plays the fiddle And he's good at it. And he's doing it professionally now. All right. And we talked about the Who. Mo, would you mind telling more origin stories about the cards in your deck in future shows? Sure. Hearing your thought process behind your choices has been, oh, so helpful to my understanding. I'd love more. Absolutely. Really? Okay. Absolutely. If you'd like that, I will do it. Sure, I'll tell you. And then, yeah, I would be happy to do that. Why my cards are the way they are. I will be happy to do that. I'll do that summit show. How's that? Good? Okay. Good for me. I hate to bore you with my personal stuff, but I'll be happy to tell you why I've created the cards I have the way I have, because they are all personal views of these cards and why they are the way they are. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you for asking. Yeah. And I guess they are different. For example, my Ace of Cups. I guess that might not be normal. I will do it. I will do it. All right. Will do. And I think by next week, hopefully I will have gotten somewhere with something. It's been a long week. And it's time for me to go. I want you to know how much I appreciate every one of you. Those of you in the chat room, you really make me feel great. You uplift me so much by being here. Those of you listening, I feel you. I feel you in a platonic way. In a platonic way. All right. I gotta go. I love you all. And if all goes well, I will be here next week. Okay? Until next week, I wish you all peace. And I wish you all love. And I'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3.